We continue this week in the series on the greatest tragedies that are found in the Bible. Last time we took a look at the whole generation of Israelites who had been delivered from Egyptian bondage. They had seen and been the recipients of God's miraculous provisions in the wilderness, time and time again. However, their carcasses dropped in the wilderness because of rebellion, murmuring, and unbelief. Now, the book of Joshua tells how the next generation, the ones who wandered in the wilderness while their parents died, went in to possess the land that their fathers and mothers should have possessed. They went in and possessed the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, the book of Judges begins by rehearsing some of the aspects of Israel's conquest of the land. And in Judges chapter 2, we see where Joshua and all the generation had passed off the scene, and the next generation was on the scene. A statement regarding this generation is made by the writer of the book of Judges. And this is one of the saddest statements I have ever read. And my friend, it expresses the tragedy that we will examine today. Look at verse 10 of Judges chapter 2. In verse 10 of Judges chapter 2, we read this. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. A generation arrives on the scene that does not know the Lord or his works which he had done for Israel. What a tragedy. The rest of the book of Judges shows the tragic consequences of this statement. All through the rest of the book of Judges, the Israelites are caught in a vicious cycle. Sin, forgetting and forsaking God, servitude and suffering at the hand of wicked kings, supplication, they cry out to God, salvation, God sends a deliverer, the judges, silence, a period of rest, and then sin. The cycle begins again. Have you ever heard the saying, those who do not learn from history are destined to repeat it? Why has God put this in the Bible? It is for our learning, so that we do not repeat history. The worst thing about history is that every time it repeats itself, the price goes up. Let's examine this for a few minutes. What caused this tragedy? Well, first of all, the sins of the grandparents. The sins of the grandparents. You would think that some valuable lessons would have been taught to their children and grandchildren while they wandered in the wilderness waiting to die. Trust God to do what he says he will do. To go against what God says to do is rebellion, and God takes rebellion seriously. Rebellion and unbelief is sin, and God will judge and chasten sin. And then the wages of sin is death. So we see one of the reasons for this great tragedy is the sins of the grandparents. Second of all, the sins of the parents. The sins of the parents. First of all, the parents, they failed in their tasks. Look in Judges chapter 2 with me, in verses 2 and 3. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. Now God gave them something to do, and they didn't do what God told them to do. You see, they disobeyed the known will of God. Now the first mistake there was prayerlessness. The Gibeonites came in Joshua chapter 9, verse 14. And we read that Joshua and Israel, they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. The second mistake was unholy alliances. In Joshua chapter 9, verse 15, we're told, and Joshua made peace with them, meaning the Gibeonites, and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. The third mistake of the parents was continuing in their sin. We saw that there in Judges, we just read in Judges chapter 2 verses 2 to 3. Rather than drive these inhabitants out, they dwelt with them and made agreements with them. Look in Judges chapter 1, verse 21, we read, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwelled with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Then look in verses 27 to 35, Judges chapter 1. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean in her towns, nor Taanach in her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor in her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam in her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo in her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass, Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. But the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalo. But the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. And neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor Alab, nor of Akzib, nor Halabah, nor of Aphek or Rehoboth. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Bethanan, but dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh and of Bethanah became tributary unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Heres, in Ajalon, and Shalabim, yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed so that they became tributaries. So we see instead of driving out the inhabitants of the land, as they were told by God, they dwelt with them and made agreements with them. God's response to all of this is, why have you done this? We're commanded in the Word of God in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. The Israelites were. They failed in their tasks. So we see, number one, the sins of the parents. They failed in their tasks. Number two, they failed in their teachings. They failed in their teachings. Judges chapter 2 with me, in verse number 10. The Word of God says this, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. When we fail in our tasks, there is a greater possibility that we will fail in our teaching. When what we say doesn't line up with what we do, that is an inconsistency that our children will pick up on. Amen? Why? What do we speak so loud that what we say can't be heard? Those parents were commanded by God to teach their children. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. Deuteronomy 6, in verses 1 through 3. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 3. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, we read this. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I have commanded thee, thou, thy son, thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye might increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, are known to the Jews as the Shema. Amen. It was the most important of all of the Old Testament. Every Jewish child had to memorize it. God warned them what would happen. Look at in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. We read this. And it shall be, when thy Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards, olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You see, they were to love the Lord with all their being. Look at in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Amen. It begins in verse 4 and it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets before thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Amen. And they were to have no other gods. Look at in Deuteronomy 6, verses 14 and 15. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are around about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Not only that, they were not to tempt the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. And they were to do right and good in the sight of the Lord. Amen. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 18 and 19, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord had spoken. They were to keep all the commandments of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 17, the word of God says, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. Somehow they failed in their teaching. They may have failed with their lips, but they definitely failed with their lives. We see the sins of the parents. They failed in their tasks. They failed in their teaching. And they failed in their testimony. They failed in their testimony. Judges chapter 2, verse 10 again. The word of God says, And also all that generation were gathered under their fathers, and there rose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verses 20 to 25, we read this in the Word of God. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord shewed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. A failure in teaching is related to a failure in testimony. You see, a testimony lives as long as it is told and shown. My friends, we must tell and show our kids what God has done for us. How much do your children know of how God has worked and is working in your life? How much of what we know of God is being passed to the next generation? Look with me, if you would, into the book of Titus, chapter number 2. Titus 2. And I want us to look at the first 8 verses in Titus number, chapter number 2. The Word of God says this: but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So we see how much what we know of God needs to be passed on to the next generation. Here we have the Apostle Paul admonishing those to pass it on, to teach the young how they should live for God. Now, we must continue to tell the testimony of Christ as well. We need to tell about the veracity of the Word of God. We need to tell of the virgin birth of Christ, the virtuous life of Christ, the vicarious suffering and death of Christ, the victorious and verifiable resurrection of Christ, and the visible return of Christ. We must continue to tell our testimony. Amen. And part of that testimony that we must tell is how we realize we were lost in sin, how we realize our hopeless position, how we realize that Christ died for us, how we trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, and how Christ changed our lives. We must also live our testimony. Amen. Going back to Judges chapter 2 with me in verses 4 and 5. Judges chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. The Word of God says this, "And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord." You see, my dear friends, you must show your children Christ has made a difference in your lives. You must show your children that Christianity is real. What we are speaks so loudly that our children can hear what you say. So we see the sins of the parents. They failed in their tasks. They failed in their teachings. And they failed in their testimony. So far we've looked at the sins of the grandparents, the parents. Now let's look at the sins of the children, which caused this great tragedy. Amen. Turn with me to Judges chapter 2, in verses 11 through 13. And the Word of God has this to say, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth." Now, God holds each of us personally responsible, though our parents may fail in their responsibility. You see, children have a personal responsibility to seek the Lord. They have a personal responsibility to receive the Lord. They have a personal responsibility to acknowledge the Lord, amen, and to observe the Lord and to serve the Lord. And the children we see here, the children of Israel, failed in their opportunities. Look with me at Judges chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies, a round bout, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them. They were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them, and turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. You see, the children failed in their opportunities. They did not learn from God's dealings in their lives. And the children also failed in their observations. Their observations. Look at in Judges chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, and they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them, and turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge, for to repent to the Lord because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned, and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them, and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice. You see, the children, they did more wickedly than their fathers. Amen. What a sad. The causes of this great tragedy. Amen. This great tragedy were because of the sins of the grandparents, the sins of the parents, and the sins of the children. Yes, they continued, amen, in this cycle. Sin, servitude and suffering, supplication, salvation, silence, and then sin again. The cycle began. Amen. This great tragedy. One of the saddest statements we read in Judges chapter 2, verse number 10, was it not? And also all that generation were gathered under their fathers, and there rose another generation after them, here it is, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Think of it, a whole generation that knew not the Lord. What a tragedy. The grandparents, the parents, the children all had a part in what happened. Let me ask, grandparents, what kind of legacy are you leaving your grandchildren? A legacy of obedience or disobedience? A legacy of righteousness or unrighteousness? A legacy of wisdom or worldliness? Mom and Dad, what will become of this next generation? It depends upon you as parents performing your responsibilities. You must be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You must not fail in your task. You must be obedient to God. You must not fail in your teaching. You must teach your children what is right in the sight of God. Amen. You must not fail in your testimony. You must pass on a legacy of right doctrine and right living to your children. Young people, what will you do about your responsibilities before God? You must not fail in your obligations. You must find God's will for your lives and perform it. You must not fail in your opportunities. Learn from the mistakes of the past. Don't repeat. You must not fail in your observation. Obedience to what you know to be right and is required. What kind of steward are we being of what we've been given? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 2 says, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.